Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
It's just such a great time in our church. There's such incredible momentum. You know, I was just sitting here during the music, after the music, just thinking, you know, I don't know that we've had a better just tithes and offering month in the history of our church than this April. It's just been such an incredible month. And I don't know what the totals are. I'm not involved in that, but I know I get a report on at the end of the month for a financial report for the month, but and all the accounts and all the campuses and everything we're doing. But I just know week in and week out, the Wednesday night and Sunday morning offerings have just been extraordinary. And I'm just telling you, it's just that says something. Because, and I'll tell you this too, that people are going to come. We got a lot of traffic in this church. I was just trying to figure out the thousands of people that came through here Easter weekend and the different locations of church, different services that we did. You know, there were over 1,000 people that didn't get in the sanctuary for the 11 o'clock service Easter Sunday. And so, but we had a petting zoo and we had ponies and they were getting ready for the Easter egg hunt. And really, honestly, it was just everybody I've talked to said they just had an incredible time. Just an incredible time. The overflow was full. There was overflow in the overflow. And I'm just telling you that this kind of momentum is something you want to grab a hold of and be a part of. See, it's not just for the organization of the church. Man, the church is made up of individual members, and we're all connected to his body in this local church. And I just want you to know to expect that kind of momentum in your life. I'm expecting it in my life. Expect it in your business, expect it in your marriage, expect it with your children. Raise your children up understanding and listen, expecting God's favor in their life. Because a lot of times our expectations, and we know the word and we love God and we're a part of the church, but we can begin to expect things to be bad or expect things to be rotten or expect things not to work out. You know, because the devil wants you to see that, especially in this age of social media. And I hope you can navigate the new social media life that we have to deal with. Because really, honestly, we're looking at everybody's highlight reels of their life. You're not seeing a lot of the other stuff. And then it looks like, well, wait a second, other people have a better life or more opportunity or more favor. And let me just tell you, there's nothing farther from the truth than that. Understand that. But you know what? A lot of times, bad days become a bad life. And really, you look at it, it's like, well, how's your day? Wasn't a great day. I struggled through the day. And you know, it's interesting because I asked guys this before the church service. I said, how's your day? Man, I grinded today. That's what one fellow said. I grinded. It was a good day, though. You know, and you look at it, your expectations got to be good, not evil. Your expectation has to be that really Jesus is Lord of your life. And, you know, we have choices. And those choices start with, I think I'm going to have a great day today. I'm going to make a choice for today to be a great day. I'm not going to let things outside of my control begin to control my life and my attitude. I'm telling you, if you've got a good attitude, you're going to have a good day. And see, that's what it boils down to. We can turn our lives around and live a life of joy just by determining that, by choosing that. Man, and a lot of people, you might have been raised by negative parents, or you might have been raised in a negative environment, or you might be surrounded by negative people. And I'm just telling you, that can't be your excuse for not having a great life. I'll tell you, I'm a big proponent. The solicitor I am in the kingdom is I want to solicit this great life that God's given us. And I'll tell you, it's the greatest life imaginable. It's the greatest life known to mankind. There's nobody that should have a better life than you. Write that down. No one should have a better life than me. See, and it all starts with our attitude. It all starts with what we choose to think and how we choose to feel. And, you know, it's not God's will for you to be miserable. That's not the will of God. See, the world, the enemy is going to try to make you miserable. You know, and that's not the will of God. The idea of this is that the next decision I make is going to honor you, God. Whatever that is. The next decision that I make, which usually becomes the next conversation that you get into. The next thing that you say. You know, everything in his promises, it fills us with his power to live a life of abundance. See, that's what God's promised us, is an abundant life. See, and our lives have to reflect that. But I think that all starts in our attitude. That all starts in how we really look at things. And too many people, the expectations of your life, if your expectation is that you're going to have a negative experience, let me tell you what we call that. That's called dread. And it really hit me because where I want to go in the next few weeks of these church services, I want to go incredibly practical. I want Kennedy to be able to hear this and I want it to be soft toss where I could just flip it to her and she could grab a hold of it, tuck it, and run with it and live this. But let me just tell you that we fall into dread. And there's always a temptation in our life to hit the dumps because of negative things that show up around us. You know, the negative things that we begin to expect, those negative things we begin to expect, how people's attitudes are going to be. We begin to expect, and let me just tell you, man, that body language that you come in with and the attitude that you have coming in, a lot of times will bring a negative reaction or response from people. See, dread is prison. It really is. And so the title of this message is Dreadlocks. I thought that was witty. But, you know, I'm 59. Witty takes on different forms now. But you know, dread truly is prison. You begin to dread driving home. You begin to dread going to the dentist. You begin to dread. Let me tell you, I don't expect for you to have a great experience at the dentist, but dreading it opens a door. Are you ready? For anxiety, for panic, for horror, for depression, for fear. See, I think that if you want to cut anxiety off at the knees, I believe we don't enter into dread. You know, we begin to dread a conversation. Well, it's going to be a hard conversation. Man, let me just tell you what I've done in my life in order for me if I've got to let an employee go. If I've got to bring news that isn't going to be great news for somebody, I could sit there and dread it for half a day, or I could choose to deliver the information compassionately and love, listen, quickly and professionally. Because a lot of things, let me tell you, it's not personal. It just feels personal. And I think we begin to dread those things, and I think that if we can master and get out in front of dread in our lives, I don't think there's going to be as much anxiety, as much depression, as much fear that we have to deal with. Man, think about the percentage of your life that you truly dread it. I dread going to work. I dread having to go out to eat with these people. You dread coming home and talking to your spouse. You dread having to deal with your kids. I mean, think about how it seeps into so many areas of our life. But God's promises empower us, and I believe, to eliminate dread. Just as simple promises. And I know that so many of you know God's promise, yet still dread situations that are coming up. Man, I'll tell you, either your life is in God's hands or it's not. Either God loves you and will bless you and favor you, or he won't. I believe he does. I believe he will. See, what I'm determined that my children, and I'll tell you, that our family, that our church family, that you understand that with God's hand on your life, with God's love comes his favor. And his favor is available to you. And that favor, listen, it trumps, it supersedes everything that we could encounter in our lives. See, the Bible says, if God be for us, who could truly be against us? And you know what? Honestly, I believe that what the spirit of that verse is, if God be for us, what does it matter who's against us? I mean, my goodness, I've heard there's businessmen in here, there's decision makers in this room, businesswomen in here that you'll say, man, if you're not fading any heat, you're not doing anything. And you know that's true. There's people that might be sitting here right now. There's people that are here about the work day, the team relief day that we're gonna do Saturday. Say, oh, what are they trying to prove at that church? They're just trying to get some media. Man, we're not calling the newspaper. Man, we're not trying to get the word out. No, you know what? What I want to do is I want to rally our church, and I just want to help a few hurting people. Man, if there's an elderly woman that needs an air conditioner put in, I'll put that air conditioner in. What's that take, 30 minutes? I mean, for real, but could change someone's life. See, we're not just going to go into that woman's house and put an air conditioner in. We're going to go in, and let me tell you something, maybe fix a kitchen table. Maybe set something up where we come back and bring her dinner next week, and maybe pray with her, and maybe minister to her. See, it turns into us going the extra mile. But if we're always dreading those kind of things, man, you might say, oh, we're having a work day. I got stuff at my house that I've got to take care of. Well, yeah, take care of it. Your procrastination shouldn't stop you from serving God. See, and we've got to look at our lives that those simple things, those practical things, I believe right here and right now, I've made decisions in my life. A decision I've made in my life is that I'm unoffendable. And let me tell you, I run into very offensive people and situations a lot. But you know what? I choose whether it offends me or not. See, there's dreadful situations that I have in my life. I choose whether or not if I'm going to import that dreadful situation into my life and bring dread into my life. Because let me tell you what that's going to do. All of that stuff is just seed that gets implanted in our hearts. See, because at the end of the day, what our heart is soil. And see, what's interesting is that, man, you have to know that our heart, our physical heart, is pumping blood through our body. And how quickly our heart pumps that blood. I mean, you think about it, our heart is beating, man, it's so many times a minute, and how quickly that blood goes through I think it's 3 or 4 times a minute that our blood goes through our body. But see, the same way now in our spiritual heart. Man, you think about our spiritual heart. If there's dread in your heart, if there's offense in your heart, if there's bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart, that's the kind of blood that it's pushing through your body. And it deals with it. And let me just tell you, I believe if we eliminate offense from our hearts, if we eliminate dread from our hearts, I believe our bodies will get healthier. I really do. I believe that offense, I believe that bitterness and unforgiveness, and I believe that dread brings a pressure into our lives. And let me just tell you, man, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And see, all of these things here are just symptoms that we're really not trusting God, that we're really not taking control and responsibility for our lives. See, that's what God's looking for us to do. God's looking for us to take responsibility, take responsibility for our lives, and then you know what? Turn around, take responsibility for the people we're around, and take responsibility for our community, take responsibility for our country, take responsibility for the world. See, that's how we change the world. You know, dread is just us expecting to have a bad experience. That's all it is. And I think it's too easy now. This is what we're here for. Is to hear God's promise and begin to expect God's best. You know, I believe most people don't expect the best. I believe a lot of times God's word, God's promise becomes like an insurance policy. You're hoping for the best, but you got to expect the worst. You got to prepare for the worst. I'm telling you, that's not a way for us to live this new life that God's given us. Why, let me ask you this, why would God promise that the old things are passed away, that all things become new, if it's going to be crummy? No, you know what? He's trying to get us to flush that crummy stuff out and expect his best. See, that's what faith is. Do you understand that? Faith is us expecting God's best. And you know what that faith's going to do? it's going to cause His best to materialize in our lives. See, that's how we get it, because our faith, our expectations, our faith, our trust is us believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouth. Man, there's so many things that we just, you know what, we just endure it day in and day out. It's been decades of enduring a situation. Why? Because you haven't put your foot down and you haven't looked it in the eye and you haven't said, be removed, be cast to the sea. I'm not receiving any doubt in my heart. I have what I say. See, if you truly have what you say, is your life reflecting God's promise? So that just means you're not saying that. See, and let me just tell you, your faith is going to be tested. You know, most battles that you're in, I'm in a battle for my health. I'm in a battle for my finances. Some of you guys that are in business, you're like, oh, I'm in a battle for finances. I'm in a battle for my client. No, it's, let me just tell you, it's a faith battle. Your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tried. And you know what? It's going to materialize in you physically. It's going to materialize in you naturally. But the core of it is a trust issue. Can you really trust me? That's all God's saying. Can you trust my promise with your business? Can you trust my promise with your marriage? See, the bottom line is that. Do you have a joy? The Bible says do all things heartily, listen, as of unto the Lord. I hate my job. What part of all things aren't you getting? You say, well, it's not my dream job. Well, your attitude, it could become that. I'll just tell you, the bottom line is, I would rather be a servant in God's house than have all the riches of Egypt. That's what the word says. But see, too many people, they're looking at the people on Facebook and Instagram and social media, that their life looks like, it's like, I got all the riches of Egypt. Let me tell you something. Don't respond like this, but your response in your heart is, you can have it. I don't want what the world wants. I don't want the riches of Egypt. I don't want to keep up with the Joneses. I want to be the best me God's called me to be. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. All that matters is I've fulfilled God's purpose in my life. All that matters is I've fulfilled God's purpose to such an extreme that people within the sound of my voice begin to fulfill God's purpose in their lives. That's all that matters to me. That's it. We're going to have a team relief day Saturday because the word says go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in. Let me tell you, man, five houses that are condemnable shouldn't be at the end of that day. Well, let me tell you, that changes someone's world. That changes someone's life. And some of you guys go, well, we've gone back to Oakhurst and some of those houses are back in the same condition. Yeah, I get it. I deal with that week in and week out pastoring a church with people's souls. I know the drill. Well, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. Really? I'll stand Bob and Dana Hurley up, and they'll tell you how much this works. I'll stand Scott and Vanessa Houston up, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell you this works. Because your attitude doesn't reflect it, and it doesn't work, doesn't mean it doesn't work. See, on its own, in a vacuum, God's word's the most powerful thing on the planet. But you know what we could do? We can reduce it to some kind of philosophy or some kind of theology. We can reduce it to that. Man, the Bible says that we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us, right? Anybody ever heard that? And you know what? We could be in here and we could sing the song and, man, we could pump it up. We could raise the roof and we'd get it. But let me tell you, that's not the way the verse is read. The verse does say we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us, but you know how the preface of that is? Yet, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And now let me ask you this, Bob, that we're more than conquerors, that means to be more than a conqueror, you need to have a battle. And so here's how a lot of, I don't even want to call it Christians because it's whiners. A lot of people they'll say, well, man, I'm under attack. Yeah, you're in a battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. See, that's what God's given us. Or we could live the life where the devil just dupes us into dreading tomorrow. Oh, and you know what? And then, man, we'll take on the attitude, well, thank God it's Friday. No, Friday's not a great day. Friday starts a couple days off where you're not with the people God's called you to reach. Why is Sunday such a big day for so many people? Because people are in the same room. People are watching the internet. The people that God's called me to reach are there. See, what it requires, this whole life, everything about life, the harvest of our lives, the reason the harvest isn't there for so many people is the harvest is in the follow-up. So you know what I'll say? I'll say, here, write this down. Write it down. The harvest is in the follow-up. Write it down. Now listen, if you live that, if that's the one takeaway that you leave here with today, it's life-changing. Man, there's people that you've invited to church, there's people that you've reached out to, there's people you tried to minister to, there's people you tried to connect with, that you know what? They shut you down, but you never followed up. Follow up. Man, that client that just had an argument, she just had an argument with her husband, and she's the buyer for the company that you're trying to sell to, and she just had a huge argument, and you just happened to call on the heels of that argument. She said, No, look, don't even ask. I don't want it. And you hang up. You go, well, check that off my list. No, follow up. Follow up. And let me just tell you, it's not 100%, not a wholesale thing, but God's going to lead you and guide you. God's going to show you. I'm not asking you to go and drill deeper in dry wells, but let me just tell you something. Man, talk to Jerry Jones about that. Man, he didn't just become a billionaire because he bought the Cowboys. No, you know what? He started buying up old wells, and you know what? He just dug a little deeper. He followed up on them. Man, see, most things like that, you listen to Warren Buffett or most politicians. Man, listen to Donald Trump, how he made his money. It's just all simple stuff. But we have to be persistent and we have to be consistent, and it's got to be every day. It can't be about the perks, because our God daily loads us with benefits. Man, this life is so beneficial. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, do you guys bring your Bibles? Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve. See, what's hard is we just kind of become Christian-like. See, Christian means Christ-like. But we become Christ-like. It's kind of like a second cousin. You guys from Arkansas, can you marry your second cousin? I think you can, Dana. Don't be looking like you're not from Arkansas. People suspected it, Dana. We just knew it. But listen, we're not just Christ-like, we're Christ-like. We're kind of like Christ-like. Well, no, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose it today. Whether the gods of your fathers on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, no, ask Kennedy if she's got a choice to serve God. No, I hear parents say, well, I want to give my kid a choice whether or not they're going to church. I want to give them a choice if they're going to pray. I want to give them a choice if they're going to serve God. Oh, really? I'm not. I love them. I'm not. I want to give you a choice. This is my house, Jeremy. You're going to serve God. This is my house. You're going to have a good attitude. This is my house. You're going to pray. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, I don't know. This is 2017. Do you understand? This is truth. It never fades. It never changes. It never dims. It stays the truth. And that's Joshua saying, look, choose who you're going to serve. But it's for me and my house. See, it's just, look at Psalm 23. Famous psalm. You guys could probably recite it. you know, about a fear no evil. But listen to this, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through. You see that? Underline that. Highlight that. Is it underlined up there? It's not. It should be. Okay. I walk through. Listen, yea, though I walk through. What are you walking through right now? You might be walking through a crummy negative situation. You might be dreading this walk you're in. Man, I'm telling you, you've got to put an axe to the root of dread. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. And you'd be like, oh, what are you, a cartoon character? What are you, a superhero? No. For God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, let me help you with that rod and that staff. They're weapons. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in your house forever. All the days of my life I will dwell. Goodness, what follows you? See, here's what's awesome. What's awesome is that we've got to be followers of people that are following Christ. So followers then, what do they live in? What's following me? What does that verse say? Put it back up. Verse 6? Surely, what's going to follow me? Goodness and mercy. So if Kennedy, follow me here, Kennedy. If I'm living my life and I'm honoring God and though I walk through the valley of the shadow, see, we're not going to forget verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your protection, your weaponry comforts me. And goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the day. So what does she get to live in now? See, that's why it's important who you follow. That's why it's important that you're a follower. Well, I'm not a follower. I'm a leader. Let me tell you something. I may be a leader, but let me tell you what I am. First and foremost, I'm a follower. And you know why? Because I need that goodness and mercy that's coming off of someone else that I'm following in their life, that's coming off their life. What's going to follow me? Goodness and mercy is going to follow me. So what happens with followers and goodness and mercy? See, and this whole thing, we look at it, the way God sets this up is that, man, he puts men of God, he puts women of God on the earth. I can't just act like a man of God because I preach a few times a week and I'm a pastor of a church. No, you know what? In my heart, it's got to be settled. I'm a man of God. And you know what? There's times I let demonic forces know. Hey, devil, let me just remind you, I'm a man of God. Remember, you got kicked out. You got kicked out. I got grafted in. You got kicked out. The blood supply is off of you now and in me now. The blood of Jesus is in me now. I have those kind of frank conversations. And let me just tell you something, but let me tell you this. Man, I've gotta proceed, listen, quickly and professionally. Man, ask Kennedy, ask Brooklyn and Taylor, ask Sandy, ask friends of mine. Man, I've got two gears. One is, oh, it's not that big a deal, blow it off. And the other one is, oh, someone's gonna get their face ripped off here. Two gears, okay? I'd make a horrific politician. He'd be going, why isn't he responding? Why is he reacting? Because it's not that big a deal to me. And it's like, why is he scorching the earth? Because it's a really big deal to him. But see, you have to look at that. You have to understand that a man of God is we're not gonna be about civilian affairs. And how much of your life does dread come into your life because you're dealing with low-level civilian affairs? Because the world feels like that you need to be dealing with it. Remember Nehemiah's building the wall, rebuilding the wall? They come to him and they said, hey, man, we've got important matters for you. He's like, more important than rebuilding this wall, which is what God's purposed me on this earth for, which is why God, what God's called me to do. Now you need me to do something that you think it's vital and you think it's important and you think it's urgent. No, you know what? He had a trowel in one hand, rebuilding the wall. He had a sword in the other for the distractions. for the people that are trying to get him down off that wall. See, do you have that? Do you have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other? See, I believe that's ministry. I believe that's how you win a community. That's how you grow a church. That's how you help people. And you know what? It's equal measure of the trowel for building people and that sword to defend them. The weapon that we have to have. God has you here tonight to equip you for great life. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. See, what's great about this is that I have strong faith. Do you understand that? And it's wholesale faith. Like, you're never going to hear me say, well, I've got faith for healing, but I don't have faith for finances. Well, I've got faith for people's marriage, but I don't have any faith for... You're not going to hear me say that. And I'll tell you why. I get to preach the word. So not only am I preaching and people are hearing it, but I'm preaching and I am hearing it. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing yourself speak the word. That's how your faith comes. See, our faith is built and our faith grows when we speak God's word. And listen, we have to do it in season and out of season. I can't tell you the hundreds of times, whether I used to be on a street corner or a pool hall or a bar or wherever I was, people say, hey, this isn't a church house. Why are you bringing that? Man, we're here just trying to have a good time and you're preaching to us. Why don't you quit preaching at us? And you know, it's funny because people get up, I'll hear preaching. At that time, I heard preaching on television saying, I'm not preaching at you. I'm thinking, that's the only way to get through to them. We've got to bring force with this word, this preaching. And people say, well, don't preach at me. It's like, that means we should. I'm not here to share a message to you. All the people that are in here, people that are watching on the internet, people that are listening to this on the app or the podcast, what's the percentage of them that are suicidal right now? What's the percentage of them that their next step they take to the wrong direction, they're going to be in a deep hole, a dark depression? That's how I preach. I mean, no offense to the ameners, but I'm not here preaching to the ameners. I'm here preaching because there's people in here that have no hope. And if you've got hope, you'll go, well, what is there for me? Okay, A, you got to get your head screwed on right. You're not here. If you have hope, you're here for the people that need hope. Do the math. You're not here because there's an expectancy for me to be here. No, there's God's purpose that's in all of this. Man, we need strong people. We need resilient people. We need persistent people. Man, people that aren't going to tap out. People that aren't going to find an excuse not to be here. Man, let me give you a great excuse. You're going to run into somebody tonight that needs some encouragement or needs somebody to exhort them and build them up or needs some ministry. Then you know what? You can't expect it just from the platform. Most people that came to church on Easter, they made a decision whether they were ever going to come back. And usually they don't make a decision if they're going to come back. They can make a decision that they're not coming back before they even get to their seat. So if you're arguing with your wife, which I think happens because I know the devil. So if you're arguing with your wife on the way to church and you pull in and your body language and your facial expression is that somebody's bugging you and you look at a visitor, they might not ever come back and it's because you had an argument with your wife. But the enemy's going to use that. Man, see, you have to understand, the Bible calls our guests and our visitors lambs. They're little lambs. Tend to the lambs. They don't get what you get. They need somebody taking care of them, looking out for them. You've got to be more than a conqueror. Listen, in both big and small battles, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose the small battles. Because at the end of the day, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The big foxes can get up and grab the fruit, and they'll steal fruit. But the little foxes, they can't get to the fruit. That frustration will cause them to start gnawing at the vine, and they'll eat through the vine. It'll fall down, and now they can get to the fruit. The little foxes spoil the vine. Big foxes steal the fruit. You have to develop a new way to solve problems, to overcome the obstacles in your life, to be able to win. Man, there's a new way. Man, what if you just started? God, show me when I begin to dread, and I'm going to cut it off, and I'm going to take a different angle. Is this resonating with anyone? Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house. And here's the scary part, because this life of faith now is to a land that I will show you. It's so vague. You can't pull out your phone and Google the land that God's going to show you. You just have to know in your knower. See, what happens when we give our lives to God is that he activates our knower. Now there's a discernment that's in my life. I'm like, ah. Used to be people bugged me. I'd meet them and they bugged me. Now I meet them and it's like, oh no, there's a demonic stronghold operative in their life now. It's not them. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, and the God of our salvation. Well, I'm not being treated right at work, or I'm not. Let me explain that to you. Can I help you with that? That's the position you want to be. You don't want to be the coddled, comforted employee. You want to be the one that doesn't get a lot. If you're not getting a lot of attaboys and you're doing above and beyond, the Bible says when you get an attaboy, that's the reward you get. If you don't get one, God rewards you in heaven. And guess what? That reward will become an open reward that God will give you. So it's like, hey, you're doing a great job. You're like, shoot, I missed out. But you know what the devil's going to say? Man, I could say, hey, Katie, you're doing a good job. And the devil's going to say to Sunday, does he not think you're doing a good job? See, we have to understand that we're not here pleasing people. And that's where that dread comes. We're here pleasing God. Is there any dread in you to honor God? No. No. Psalm 103:2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He's going to load us with them, but we can't forget it. See, so forget the dread. Write that down. Forget the dread. Dread's a prison. We got to be people that live free in the Lord. Otherwise, we're not helping anybody. Man, the world's looking at us and they're thinking, "Kid, you get your act together, I think I can start trusting God. You get your act together, maybe I'll start going to church." No, you know what? We've just got to be open and honest. Man, I don't get in front of you guys like I've arrived or I'm perfected. That would never fly here. Man, but let me just tell you, I'm not going to have time to judge or critique you or be critical of you, because I've got to examine myself. I don't have time to examine you. My plate's pretty full with me, trust me. It's a full-time job. But the bottom line is that God equips us and empowers us for great life. What's the devil going to do? He's just going to try to get you off track a little bit. He's going to try to dumb you down a little bit. He's going to, man, somebody else is going to get promoted and you're not going to be promoted. And if you can honor God through a lack of promotion, let me tell you what it is. And I tell this to my staff guys once in a while. And, you know, there's guys that have come from business into ministry on the staff and other guys. And it's and really, ministry's not an easy job. It's not an easy career. But you're learning as you grow in God, it's a different set of muscles that you have to have for ministry than you do for business, or you have to do for the law, or you have to have for medicine. It's a different set of muscles to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in. It's a different set of muscles that we're not doing this for ourselves, we're doing this for him, and we're doing this for you. See, there's a selfless life that we have, that the people in business that have it are going to be extraordinarily successful. But you have to understand, it's a different set of muscles that we're working for ministry. And the farther you go in ministry, the deeper you go in ministry, man, the more weight that goes on those bars and those dumbbells. But you're getting stronger. Your faith's getting stronger.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.